Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, Message Bible. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, Message Bible. Let's go. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head. We'll title this The Focus of Love. The Focus of Love. A doctor, a lawyer, a little boy, and a priest were flying in a small plane, small private plane. And then somewhere along the line, the engine developed a fault. The pilot did all he could, but eventually the engine packed up. So the plane was on its way down. There were four parachutes on the plane. The pilot took one, said, "Gentlemen, please take the other parachutes and find your way." He jumped out of the plane. The doctor said, "Well, I'm in the business of saving people's lives. If I die now, many other people will die." He took a parachute and jumped. So there was only one left. And there was the priest and the little boy. So the priest took the parachute and gave the little boy. "You still have your whole life ahead of you. Go, son." The boy said, "Father, there is no need. You can have it back." Oh, yes. So when the doctor jumped out, the lawyer was the one that went last. He said, "I'm the smartest man around here, okay? And people still need me." So he took one and jumped. So when the priest gave the parachute to the boy returned the parachute and said, "Father, you don't need to worry. The smartest man, the lawyer, when he jumped out, it was my school bag that he carried and jumped out of the plane." I beg for pardon from the lawyers. It looks like they always get the short end of the stick. Because Jesus said, "Woe unto thee, lawyers." The moral of the story is just simply that selfishness never ends well. Selfishness never ends well. Our focus has been on love. And love and selfishness never go together. Just never go together. So in the passage that we read, it said, love cares more for others than for self. Selfishness is just simply love turned inwards. We know the commandment had been love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus comes and says to his disciples, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you." He didn't die for himself, but he died for us. Okay, so the God kind of love puts the other person first. And it is marked by sacrificial love. The focus of love is the other person. The focus of love is the other person. I go back to Philippians chapter 2. I read Philippians 2, 3 to 4. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Amazing. So we should focus on other people. Selfishness is a mark of spiritual immaturity. The more we become like Christ, the more we become like God, the more others focused we become. In focusing on others, we have to recognize the fact that people are unique. Each person is unique. And they're likely to be different from us. We need to factor that in loving them. Their needs are likely going to be different from ours. In loving God, you know, we need to know God. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24. Jeremiah 9, 24. God said, "But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me." That's amazing. God says, if you're going to brag of any achievement, this is going to be your greatest achievement, that you know me, that you understand me. He said that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. So you really can't know a person, you really can't love a person if you don't know them intimately. Know what makes them tick. Know what is important to them. Now, when it comes to loving, we have discussed before the love languages, that people perceive love in different ways. And we got that from Dr. Gary Chapman, okay? Some people like words of affirmation. Words matter a lot to them. Some others like physical touch. They like the hugs. Some like quality time. You give them full attention when you are with them. Meaningful conversation, share activities together. And some others like gifts, and some like acts of service, that you do something for them. But today I want us to approach it from another angle, temperaments. Because people have different temperaments, and the study of temperaments has been on for thousands of years. The different temperaments have different needs. And the more you understand someone, the better you're able to relate with them and to love them. It's amazing. The first one, the sanguine or sanguine. S-A-N-G-U-I-N-E. That's the bubbly one, the friendly one, the outspoken one. When you want to love them, you validate their strengths. Especially if you are an introvert. What makes them tick will likely irritate you. That was my experience with my brother, Pastor Victor. The bubbly one, the friendly one, the sociable one. Everywhere. Greeting everybody. When we were teenagers, I called him one day to a discussion. I said, "Don't you think somebody is supposed to be serious about his life?" I thought something was wrong with him until the day we saw the book, Transformed Temperaments, by Tim and Beverly LaHaye. It was a revelation. When they described the different temperaments, in fact, I was shocked to find out that what I was criticizing were strengths. More importantly, that each of the temperaments has strengths and weaknesses, and that what I was criticizing were my own areas of weakness. What I didn't have, he had. My sense of appreciation just went up like that. Wow. Okay. Oh. Sanguines wither under criticism. You see, they're bubbly, they're excitable. But if you criticize what makes them who they are, it makes them to wither. So we need to validate their strengths. Also, we need to validate their emotions because they're emotive. Okay? When they feel strongly. That's why they are prone to anger sometimes. We need to validate what they are feeling per time, not correct first. Whatever it is they are feeling, there's a reason why they are feeling it, and it is important. So we need to validate the emotions, and then we can do the correction later. We need to spend quality time with them. One thing you notice with them is they make friends easily. Two, when they are with you, they are with you. They make you feel like you are their closest friend.
You are the most important person in their lives. When they are present, they are present. Okay? They like fun and friendship. We need to reciprocate that. When we are with them, let us be with them. See, they love to enjoy the moment to the point where sometimes they are prone to being late. You know, for maybe the next appointment. But the beautiful thing about them is they're usually so excitable and they have charisma. By the time they smile and joke and come laughing, even you that you were planning to be angry, you would have changed your mind, okay? Spending quality time. And finally, we need to listen to them because they like to talk. And if somebody likes to talk, they need somebody that will listen to them, right? Good. So we need to listen to them because they need that attention. The choleric, the second extroverted temperament, the choleric. One thing that stands, that C-H-O-L-E-R-I-C. And please bear in mind, as we describe these relationships, that this applies to relationships in the family, marriage, husband and wife, parents and children. It applies at work. It applies between tenant and landlord. It applies in the neighborhood. It applies everywhere. The one thing that stands out about the choleric is the fact that they are achievers. They are goal-oriented. They are usually decisive. They want you to decide quickly on what is supposed to be done, and they do it. They have this capacity to do whatever they need to do to achieve the result. They will crush anything on their part. The result must be delivered. And because they are achievers, the first thing I recommend is give them recognition for their accomplishments. Strong leaders. It's amazing. The data shows the world has only 3% of them. Because they're very strong personalities. Only 3%. That's, in God's estimation, that's enough for the world. Powerful achievers. So when they achieve, celebrate them for their achievement too. Let them take on tasks and responsibilities. And this starts even from childhood. If there's something to be done, they want to do it, let them do it. It's very frustrating for them not to be achieving something. Let them do it. Okay? So let them take on tasks and responsibilities without you becoming irresponsible. That you don't take advantage of the fact that they like to take charge and to do everything. Take advantage of that to not do anything. Because on the other hand, they hate lazy people. They hate laziness. They detest laziness. So if you now want to take advantage of the fact, for example, it happens in marriage sometimes when it's the woman that is choleric, you know, usually she will marry a gentleman. And then before you know it, she's out, she cleans the house, she cooks, she does everything. Even when there's power cut, she will go and start the power generating set. Okay, you have to be very careful. Allow her to achieve, but if you now abandon everything, the day she will start a war, it will be World War III. Minimize emotional outbursts around them. They don't respond well to anger because they themselves can be fiery. And they don't like to lose. So if it is hunger, it's fire for fire. Okay, so you manage your own anger around them because what you want to do is get them to calm down so you can discuss. With them, you have to learn to negotiate. Learn to negotiate. Not allow yourself to be dominated, but to negotiate. In conversations, because they like to win, use one principle that Jesus taught. I call it the principle of agreement. Because Jesus said, agree with your adversary quickly. He said, lest he deliver you to the judge, and the judge deliver you to the prison. So when I'm discussing with the cleric, I have the tendency to say, yeah, that's right. That's true. That's right. That's true. And when I want to make my own contribution, I don't use the word but. It's a mistake. You know, most times we don't really listen to understand what people are saying. We listen to prepare what we will say when they have stopped. And that's why sometimes what we're saying just goes completely off course, because we didn't understand what they were saying. Sometimes we actually are supposed to ask another question to clarify what they really meant. Then what we have to say will be accurate. So, and the first word that will come out of the mouth is but. But. That but communicates to me that you have another idea you want to put forth and you believe it's superior to mine. You think it was nonsense that I just said, right? So I raise my defenses up. So while you're saying your own too, I'm preparing my own defense. I will butt your butt. Okay. So what do I suggest? Validate what the person is saying. Somebody can't be an adult and be stupid. They know what they are saying. Okay? That's true. That's right. That's true. That's right. And when you want to start your response, you start with and. That's very true. And, okay. So that suggests that you just want to add to my own idea, not counteract it. That's easier, isn't it? Good. That and works well. So the person is calm, listens to you. It is when you finish what you are saying that the person will realize what you said was direct opposite of what they were saying. Okay. When you're dealing with a choleric, do special things for them. Be thoughtful, okay, in doing things for them. Let's move on to the melancholic, the first of the introverted temperaments, the melancholic. They need loads of encouragement. They're deeply introverted people, and they're very gifted. Their strength is in their imagination. They have capacity to deal with abstracts. And in that abstract world, they create ideal scenarios. They are idealists. Now, that gap between the ideal that they see in their minds and the reality on ground, that gap frustrates them, disappoints them, makes them moody, makes them depressed. So when you're around them, you have to give them loads of encouragement, loads of affirmation. They battle with a lot of self-doubt. They're usually self-critical. You don't even need to criticize them. They've criticized themselves already. So they usually don't give themselves enough credit for how good they are. And as somebody that is external to them, it's good to let them realize how handsome they are, how beautiful they are, how capable they are, how much of an achiever they are, and so on. Next, give them stability. It's an emotional need for them, stability. They're usually very organized. So when they put something here, the next time they come, if you've moved it, that's the first thing they will notice. So who moved this thing? So, but that's where it has been. That's not where it has been. I know exactly where I left it. Somebody moved it here. So if you don't want to disturb their minds, help them to leave it where they kept it. If you move it, please put it back there. Help to create stability in their lives. Give them space and time to be alone. Give them space. See, the extroverts draw energy from being around people, especially the sanguine. They draw energy from being around people. The melancholy does not. People drain their energy. Being alone is how they charge their battery. So give them time to be alone. That's how to show love. Because for some of us, we just don't understand it. If we like each other, let's be talking now. See, I don't want to talk. And when we listen to them, we should listen with empathy. And then the last one, the phlegmatic. Introvert, but a bit milder than the melancholy. If you love a phlegmatic person, please give them peace. Their deepest need is for harmony. They don't like chaos. They don't like trouble. They don't like the sparks flying. peace. If you really love them, give them peace. Okay? Don't give them trouble. They so value peace, that they would rather sacrifice other things than not have peace. Sometimes that gets on the nerves of a choleric. Because in order to have peace, sometimes a phlegmatic will sacrifice the goal. When they need to speak up, they will not speak up just because they don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers and start quarreling again. The choleric is not like that. To the choleric, the goal has to be achieved. If we need to fight, let's fight now. Okay? And settle it. So the choleric knows that, in fact, if we don't work towards that objective, that your peace will not last. So for the choleric, the end justifies the means. So let's fight the war now. In fact, sometimes you need to have war before you have peace. So what I would just say is, so please just appreciate the impact on the phlegmatic. So if you want to have war, have it and finish it quickly. And return back to peace as fast as you can. They value peace. Give them affirmation for their qualities. Because usually people don't appreciate them because they are not as goal-oriented as other people. They may not achieve big things materially and financially. But you see, they have fantastic qualities. They're usually very accommodating of other people, and they're usually very loyal to people. So those intangible qualities, we need to celebrate those qualities also. Please respect their need to relax. They don't have too much energy to throw around like that, so they usually need to chill. In fact, many of them like their sleep. Okay, it's a good way to just abandon all the problems of this world and recharge. That's what God gave us sleep for. It's to recharge energy. Okay, so please allow them to relax. Don't interpret their need for relaxing as laziness. Okay, it is the way they recharge. Relaxing is an emotional need for the phlegmatic. Please don't involve them in too much socializing. People drain their energy. They need some socializing, but not too much. And if you're close to any phlegmatic, you know one thing about them, that they can be politely stubborn. Quietly and politely stubborn. Because they don't like stress. So, and they don't like trouble. At the same time, you know they like peace. So they may not quarrel. They just won't do it. So this is the point. They're usually also organized. And because they don't like stress, they're usually neat. And their own neatness sometimes is not because they are conscientious and hardworking. Mm-mm. It is because they don't want to go through the trouble of arranging the whole thing again. So just leave it the way it is. So this is the point. When they have a schedule, they want to follow it. Interrupting or disrupting that schedule can give them stress. So don't introduce abrupt changes into their lives. The sanguine is spontaneous, can get a spark of an idea on this. And because they're very adventurous, let's try it. Oh yeah, let's go there. And that was not part of the plan from the beginning. Now, that can give a phlegmatic stress. So give them time to warm up to new ideas. They need time to think about it and to process it. In all this, what do we need? I go back to Philippians 2, 3 to 4 as we pray. Philippians 2, 3 to 4, New Living Translation this time. It says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. This is one of the most challenging statements I've read in the Bible. Thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. But the words I want to focus on are the words, be humble. In other words, without humility, we really cannot succeed in relationships. A relationship should not be an ego contest. And now it says, actually consider others to be better. And you know, you can't be wiser than God. When you consider yourself better than others, that's when you have issues in your relationship. But when we consider others better than ourselves, it makes it much, much easier. Some people ask, so which temperament is better? Because some people criticize other temperaments. That's a big mistake. No temperament is better. It's just God putting a part of himself in each of us. If we put everything inside one person, that person will be God. Mm-hmm. And he's designed it in such a way that we will need one another. Let's bow our heads and pray. I want you to just pray for a few seconds. Lord, fill me with your spirit. Because humility is a fruit of the spirit. It's part of the fruit of the spirit. Humility. It's not normal to human nature. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, baptize me afresh with your Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. You said that your grace is sufficient for me. Your strength is made perfect in my weakness. Help me, Lord, after this service, in that moment, when I'm in my relationship, in the neighborhood, at home, at work, in that moment, let the Holy Spirit teach me what to say. Let the Holy Spirit teach me what to do. Let the Holy Spirit give me the discipline, the capacity to do what is right. Help me to grow in my love walk. Make me a blessing to the people in my life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we thank you because your strength is made perfect in our weakness. Heavenly Father, give us grace to love better. To understand others better. Give us grace to be humble, to recognize the value in other people, and to make life sweeter for others. And Heavenly Father, as your love flows through us, your life flows through us. Whatever does not look like Christ, remove them from our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, old habits are broken. And every form of delay in our blessings are also broken. We declare today the day of restoration of everything that belongs to us in Christ. Thank you, Lord. We pray for the person present in this service, either physically or online, who is honest enough to admit my relationship with God is not okay. I'm a sinner. Lord, we know every human being was born a sinner. That's why you sent Jesus, your son, to die for us. And the day we ask for forgiveness, you forgive us. You remove the nature of sin from us. You put your own nature there through the power of the Holy Spirit so we can live like you and we can love like you. So, Lord, we thank you because for everyone praying here today asking for forgiveness, there's forgiveness here. Before I conclude this prayer, if you're that honest person, can you please put your hand on your heart? I'm a sinner. I can't be lying. My relationship with God is not okay. I want God to forgive me my sins. Can you please put your hand on your heart? God bless you. I want to pray for God to forgive me my sins. I want the nature of sin removed from me and God's nature put in there. I want us all to pray along with these precious people. Please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for our brothers and sisters that said this prayer, and we know at this instant that their sins are forgiven. And the nature of sin is removed from them. And the Holy Spirit has put your own nature in them now. Thank you for this miracle of transformation. Heavenly Father, teach them to know you personally. Teach them to love you the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name.